So my text for today is in the passage that we just read in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12, and it's verses 1 to 3. And let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out before us. As far as I understand the Christian gospel message, we're never promised that a life of faith and commitment to Christ will be easy, a bed of roses. I do know, in case you remind me of it, those beautiful words of Jesus, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I take encouragement from that promise and understand from it that he's with us throughout our lives and will not allow us to suffer more than we can bear. At the same time, Jesus also says, take up your cross and follow me. That cross has been heavy for some, even to the extent of the ultimate sacrifice. So I say again, the Christian life is not always easy. Yes, we are promised joy, deep joy in our souls, which survives through all circumstances. We are also promised a deep peace, which only Christ can give. We are promised a quality of life, which will go right through physical death into eternity. And that is the most amazing hope and truth that we can have. However, meanwhile, we suffer and we struggle along with all humanity. But always for the future, the Christian has a great hope of a better life. Paul said, I have fought the fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me, and not only to me, but to all those who've longed for his appearing. But for now in this life, we need help. The writer to the Hebrews compares the Christian life to a race. Elsewhere in the Bible, many times it's spoken of as a walk, or a pathway. As an old Methodist hymn says, well, I think it's a Methodist hymn, it's in our book anyway, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. The early Christians were, in fact, referred to as people of the way. And scripture says, this is the way, walk in it. The Christian life is also compared with a fight. Like the hymn we've just sung, fight the good fight with all thy might. The battle between good and evil, between God and the devil. In Ephesians 5, we're exhorted to put on the whole armour of God to protect us in that spiritual battle. But here in the Hebrews, the writer is talking about a race. I'm sure he's thinking of the Olympic Games, which of course we've just had in Tokyo, and more about that in a moment. At the time this book was written, in the first century, the Games had actually been held every 4 years in Athens for hundreds of years. They had evolved from one race to a series of races and other disciplines, nothing like as many as we have today. Longer races had been introduced. Apparently, to qualify for the Olympic Games, athletes had to do 10 months training to ensure their fitness. I'm not sure how that compares with training today, but I do know that they do a lot of it. Perhaps that was to avoid the fate of the man who ran from Marathon to Athens, a distance of just over 24 miles, to announce a Greek victory over the Persians. Sadly, he then collapsed and died. I guess that was the first marathon. I've never attempted a marathon, ever. I do remember cross-country running at Westwoods Grammar School at North Leach, and I developed stitch, and it was really bad and painful, and I was laid up for the rest of the day. So after one or two attempts, they let me off. I can't remember what I did instead, but I didn't go on any more cross-country running. Strange, really, my brother was good at it. He loved it, and he'd come home really well, but I was useless. The only distance I've managed consistently is 22 yards. Even then, I much prefer to hit boundaries. I found it difficult to engage with this year's Tokyo Olympics. I'm too busy, perhaps, in the daytime to follow the events live. And then when I've tuned in to get the highlights of the day in the evening, it seems to me to be more about the comments and opinions of the presenters than the actual events themselves, and I was disappointed and actually turned me off. And I think initially too, I was very uncertain in my own mind whether in the light of COVID and actually spreading in Japan, nothing like as bad as we've had, but nevertheless, it was increasing, and I wondered whether it was wise to have them anyway when you're bringing so many people from so many different countries. Certainly the big sports events that we've had in Britain have spread the virus. There's no two ways about that. In fact, I know someone who lives part of the time, not far from us, who has caught the virus at Wembley and then gave it to his wife, and they were both double jabbed. So they were poorly but not seriously ill, and that I think is reflected for those who have had the vaccinations. But those events, I'm sure, like Wimbledon and Wembley, did actually sort of act as a super spreader for the virus. Going back to the Olympics, it would seem, though, that we can be proud of Team GB. They have done very well. They've got a lot of medals. I think they're about third or fourth in the kind of, what to call it, the scale of countries who won various medals. There are a lot more sports, including the Olympics, today, and we seem to do well in things like yachting, don't we, and stuff like that, rather than necessarily just the athletics. But I suggest today that the Christian life is like a marathon, because the writer says, run with endurance the race marked out for you. Need endurance or perseverance. It can be equal with those words. We need, as I said earlier, all the help that is available. And I just suggest briefly three ways which help us to persevere. Firstly, the great cloud of witnesses. The first word in this section is therefore. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and sin which so easily entangles us. The chapter before, which this relates to, is full of men and women of faith who have been faithful to God through all the challenges that they faced, and many were put to death, never having received their promises, of whom it says the world is not worthy. Now, over 2,000 years later, the cloud of witnesses is much greater. Men and women through these centuries who have lived and died in faith. We have read some of their stories and have been inspired by them. A few we have known and been particularly blessed by. The faith and endurance of loved ones who have gone before are cheering us all on so that we also will keep the faith and run the race with perseverance. A few days ago, I read in my daily devotional readings, and I read Hope for Each Day by Billy Graham, and he said this: if the angels rejoice over one sinner who repents, then the angelic hosts are included in the great cloud of witnesses, and they never miss any of the details of our earthly pilgrimage. He tells the story of an old preacher, now you'll enjoy this, who worked into the night on a sermon for his small congregation. His wife inquired why he spent so much time on a message he would give to so few. To this the minister replied, "You forget, my dear, how large my audience will be. Nothing is trivial here if heaven looks on. We shall play a better game if, seeing we are in compass, we remember who is in the grandstand." So I thought that was particularly encouraging for us this morning. Secondly, we have each other. And the Christian life is not, I think, intended to be a lonely one. For some, of course, it is. It has to be. But the whole idea about a local fellowship is to support each other. Nor is it a competitive race. It is perhaps where this metaphor breaks down to some extent. It's not about winning, but completing and finishing well. I remember one of our chapel members that you will know, Janet Hemming, used to do the Race for Life, an annual event to raise money for cancer research. She herself had actually had cancer several times. I think you could walk or you could run, and you went with friends and you supported each other. It wasn't about winning, but it was about finishing. Then, like the London Marathon, which we haven't been able to have for a year or two, some professionals run to win, but others are there for fun, to run for charity, support each other just to get over the line. This is one of the blessings of being in a loving and caring church or fellowship where we're there for each other, and especially when the going is tough. I found these lovely words in Isaiah 35, "Give strength to hands that are tired and to the knees that tremble with weakness. Tell everyone who is discouraged, be strong and don't be afraid. God is coming to your rescue." a rather poignant article in the newspaper some time back about a mother who'd helped her severely disabled child on one of the races on sports day. And this particular year, the school said she'd not be permitted to do that. If I remember correctly, there was a hue and a cry, and that decision was rescinded. I remember a young lad, Charlie, at Brandon's primary school. He struggled to walk, let alone run, but he had a go at the shorter races and had the greatest cheer of the day. A helping hand, a word of encouragement, can mean such a lot to believers who are having a tough time, and it's part of what our local church fellowship is about. Thirdly, and finally, fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Always a danger, isn't there? And especially in our rural situations, of losing heart. We sometimes get discouraged, if we're honest. We work hard for the Lord, and for his people. We put in hours of arranging something special to try and interest other people. We do leaflets and newsletters and various other things. And we visit the sick and the elderly. I find it a privilege to do that, actually. We love our neighbours, or we try to love our neighbours as ourselves, as we are taught. Often the response is small, and it's then easy to be discouraged, to grow weary, to give up. It's vital then to fix your eyes upon Jesus. As the old hymn says, fix your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. One day we'll see him face to face. What an amazing thought that is. But now we see him with the eyes of faith. And the key word for me here is consider. Consider him, think about him who endured such opposition from sinful man that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus has gone before us. He's blazed the trail. He's endured the sufferings of the cross and has secured the victory over death and the grave. He is the author and the finisher of faith. If we focus all our attention on him and we put our trust in him, we too, following in his footsteps, will finish the course. Sometimes our attention wanders. Instead of focusing on Jesus, we look around to see how others are doing, perhaps critically. Several years ago, we went to our granddaughter Chloe's sports day. It fascinated me to see the way that instead of focusing on the finishing line, many of the children looked around to see how the others were doing. And in so doing, they lost their way. They lost speed themselves. We were actually proud that Chloe did quite well in the sprint, and she won the skipping race, which shows good coordination, because some of them got in an awful tangle, I remember. In 1954, Roger Bannister, remember him, was a medical student at Oxford who enjoyed running. And he entered a race on May the 6th of that year and made history, becoming the first athlete to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. Bannister's time was 3 minutes, 59.4 seconds. Half a globe away, his rival, John Landy of Australia, took notice. And a month later, he beat Bannister's record by half a second. Thousands of people watched when later that summer, they both lined up to race in the British Empire Commonwealth Games in Vancouver, Canada. The racers, it was called the Mile of the Century. The racers shot from the starting block and Landy took the lead, which he maintained. The roar of the crowd was deafening. With only 90 yards to go, Landy made a fatal mistake. He glanced behind him, and at that exact moment, Bannister streaked by him and won the race by less than a second. So we need to focus on Jesus consistently. So look ahead to him, to fix our eyes on him. When the risen Christ was commissioning Peter to feed my sheep, as he said, Peter said, what about John? Jesus replied in essence, and I'm paraphrasing, don't worry about John, you follow me. And when you listen to interviews with great athletes, you can't help be impressed with their total concentration and dedication. Nothing will deter them from their goal, and they certainly travel lightly. Sometimes we can be hindered by things in our lives that take us away from Christ and may not be wrong in themselves. Perhaps our priorities as Christians are not what they should be. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles. In those days, I understand the Olympic athletes ran stark naked. There was nothing at all to hold them back. When I think of this and I think of being faithful to Christ, I always think of Eric Liddell, how he stood for what he believed in. He wouldn't go into the 100 yards because it was on a Sunday, and then he actually won the 200 yards. I nearly said meters, but it was yards in those days, wasn't it? Not only has Jesus gone up ahead and won the victory, however badly we think we're doing, however much weight we're carrying, he's still with us. He's still there for us, helping, lifting us up when we stumble and fall, carrying us like in the footsteps piece when we can't manage and we have no strength left. I love the promise in Isaiah which says he strengthens those who are weak and tired. Even those who are young grow weak. Young men can fall exhausted. But those who trust in the Lord for help will find their strength renewed. They will rise on wings like eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not grow weak. When Jesus gave his disciples the Great Commission, he said, "Therefore go and make disciples in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age." May we know his presence with us. May we encourage and support each other. And may we remember that there is a great cloud of witnesses in the grandstand encouraging us to continue. Without any spectators this year, it must have been strange at this year's Olympics. Not how the competitors would want it to be, but we still have our cloud of witnesses. May the Lord encourage and bless us as we continue in the race for life. Amen. Can we just take a short prayer? And so, Heavenly Father, we do ask that you will help us to be faithful, help us to persevere and to endure whatever our circumstances are, however difficult it is, to be faithful to you so that we can look forward with joy and hope to finish the race and see you face to face. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.